book of Isaiah, especially the way that the prophet, who was inspired by God, establishes God's sovereignty and majesty, oftentimes by expressing the Almighty as the creator of the ends of the earth. And I'm going to preach a little series on this subject. God is the creator. Let's look here at Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 8. He says, "Drop down, ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, Why makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begettest thou? Or to the woman, What hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker. Ask of me things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands command ye me. I have made the earth, and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded." Verse 18. "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not to the seed of Jacob, Seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right." And that includes the teaching that he is the creator. Verse 21, "Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I, saith the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." Now there's a reason why I've read all these verses and brought it down to this one. You see, the same God who created the heavens and the earth is the one, the only one, that can provide salvation in Jesus Christ. Both of those doctrines are presented forcefully, faithfully, directly, right here in this chapter. And if you deny God as the creator, then you may likewise have to deny that he is the Savior. Verse 23. "I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say in the Lord, have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come. And all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory." God is the creator. The prophet Isaiah was used by the Lord to show Judah the nonsense of the idolatry that they had fallen into. Throughout the book of Isaiah, you'll find the prophet exalting God. And one of the most striking ways in which Isaiah illustrates the superiority, the sovereignty, the majesty of God over all other beings is by establishing the fact that God is the Creator. God is the architect of all creation. He designed the heavens, the earth, and man. He is the first cause of creation. God alone is responsible for the creation of this vast universe. He brought something out of nothing. God, who has life in Himself, eternal life, everlasting life, the infinity of life, is the one who sovereignly spoke life into existence in creation. Now our text, the verses that we've read, is an emphatic statement by the Lord Himself that He is the source of creation and salvation. So in order for infidels to destroy the idea of man's need of salvation outside of himself, they must of necessity destroy the idea that God is the Creator. And this is precisely what the evolutionists, the theorists, have been doing ever since Origin of the Species was published and began to gain in popularity. They have been trying to get to this point that the Bible is not true. The Word of God is not authoritative. And over time, and this is how progressives work, this is how humanists work, this is how atheists work, they incrementally, just little by little by little, introduce a little leaven here, a little leaven there, and before too long, you've got an entire educational system that is based on a false premise. That somehow this world came into existence without life. That it just evolved somewhere, somehow, out of nothing, with no direct cause, that it happened by chance, that there was no design, that this just was a big bang. Well, the results of evolutionary theory have led to an almost total disregard for the authenticity, the authority, and the reliability of the Holy Scriptures. I am alarmed when I hear, rarely do you hear any of the leaders of our country ever talk about God in a positive light. Rarely do you ever hear them say that God is the Creator, that the Word of God is true. Now, I don't think President Trump is a huge, big Christian. But I will tell you one thing. He has at least made it plain that he was going to protect the Christian faith in the United States of America. And I can't remember a president who's been more open about that way back probably since Reagan. And I wasn't paying any attention back then. But the point is, I remember a few years ago when I think it was Marco Rubio came out and said that he believed that the earth was only like 10,000 years old or something like that. And everybody blew up. The media blew up. Don't you believe science? Don't you believe this? And they cornered him to where he said, well, listen, man, I'm a politician. I'm a senator. I'm not a scientist. I don't know. Well, I do know. Based on human history, based on the Word of God, I don't believe that the earth is much more than 6 to 10,000 years old at the most. Now, the fact of special creation has been cast aside for the myth of evolution. It cannot be proved scientifically that the world came about from nothing and that we, human beings, came from lower life forms. There is just absolutely no proof of that. There are no missing links. They don't have any evidence to prove. In fact, I just read an article somewhere along the line last week or two that said that everybody goes back to a set of two people. Yeah, that's right, Adam and Eve. You and I, really, you go back to the sons of Noah because before that everybody died. But then he traced his existence back to the our first parents of the human race, Adam and Eve. Now, look over with me at Romans chapter 1. I'm going to show you what God says will happen to a people that reject Him as the Creator. A society. Romans chapter 1. We're not going to read the whole chapter. But notice what it says in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You are without excuse if you deny this truth that is revealed in Scripture and in the physical cosmology of the universe. It declares there is a Creator, that God is the Creator. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore? That's the worship of creation. They worship the creation rather than the Creator. Isn't that what's going on today? All the climate alarmists, all of PETA, the ethical treatment of animals were created for us, not for their own pleasure. It was for us, for our sustenance. But people are making the earth their God, animals their God. And it's exactly what God says. And what happens? Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. You fail to acknowledge Him as the source of all things, the Creator of all things. He gives them over to a reprobate mind, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Somebody says, why is there so much sexual immorality, homosexuality, multigenderism? God's given them up to vile affections. He's given them a reprobate mind. They don't know what's right. They've denied what is right. And God has given them over to an unnatural, unholy practice. And it's all over the world. Look over at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Interestingly, in the first chapter of Colossians, Paul makes it clear that it's Christ who was active in the creation. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. You deny the real Christ of his sovereignty, his majesty, his power as creator. You deny the Godhead when you deny that God is the creator. You deny Scripture. Now, our first point tonight is establishing the fact of creation. And it really comes down to this. And I preached that series of sermons, I think we'll start this year. Whose word are you going to believe? God's word or man's word? God's truth or man's faulty philosophy? Well, I believe that God's word is absolutely true. That it is inspired, inerrant, that it is holy, that it is pure. And the Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture, meaning from Genesis through Revelation, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Very, very key. Meaning that it is God-breathed. God is the author of every word, every phrase, every sentence, every paragraph, every chapter in the word that you hold in your hands. God is the author. God is the one that inspired all of these truths. If you deny Him as the Creator, you are saying that you have to rip out massive passages of Scripture, throw entire verses completely out of the Bible if that's not true. Well, that cuts right at the heart of inspiration and authority. It says that all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. To deny God as the Creator is to deny the very... Now, this is so to me, and I know you're probably tired of me saying this, but you are calling into question the very first sentence in the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So from the very start, you're saying that the first verse of the book that we regard as holy, inspired, inerrant, filled with truth. It is the truth. Every word of God is pure. You're saying, no, anyone that deals with God being the Creator, you got to write that off. That's not true. men have set themselves up as that kind of authority, to disregard the plain teaching of Scripture. If the first sentence of the Bible is a lie, how can we know for sure if the rest of the Scriptures are trustworthy? If you can't trust the first verse, then how do we know if all the rest are true? Now here's what some evolutionists have said about their own doctrine. Sir Arthur Keith said, "Evolution is unproved and unprovable. We believe it because the only alternative is special creation, which is unthinkable." Because they would have to acknowledge God. Aldous Huxley, who was a heathen, wicked, filthy, rotten philosopher, an atheist, said, "It is clear that the doctrine of evolution is directly antagonistic to that of creation. Evolution, if consistently accepted, makes it impossible to believe the Bible." This guy was saying this way back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and that's exactly where we are in the year 2018. There's probably once a month I read a negative article that has been written against Ken Ham and the Ark, misrepresenting something, not telling the truth about other things. Why? Because he's given an exhibit that is biblical, that is scriptural, and it's out there. You cannot mistake it. Here is a man and a ministry that says, "I believe that God is the creator, that God did destroy the world with a flood, and here's the evidence. I'm going to build the same ark that Noah built for all to see." And man, atheists and evolutionists, they hate that. And what's so amazing to me is that young people actually think Bill Nye is a science guy. You know, because he's got a tricky little name to him. Bill Nye the science guy, he ain't no scientist. He's a shyster. Now what we're going to do tonight is I'm just going to give you just an overall... A touch, if you will, from passages of Scripture, from different writers of Scripture that believe God is... The testimony from the Bible itself overwhelmingly supports... In fact, it not only overwhelmingly supports that God is the Creator, there is never a contradiction between any of the writers of Scripture when it comes to this doctrine, or really any other, but specifically creation. Moses. The Jewish people regard Moses with great respect, with great reverence. They hold him up. Moses is the writer of the first five books. He believed God created the heavens and the earth. Of course, he wrote Genesis 1:1. But look over at Deuteronomy chapter 4. In verse 32. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 32. "For ask now the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it." He believed God was the creator. David, the king of Israel, a man after God's own heart. Look at Psalm chapter 8. And that there's tons of scripture. I'm just giving you just a little sampling, maybe of verses that you really hadn't considered that much, but that are revealed here in the Bible. Psalms chapter 8, verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor, and has made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and all the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Solomon, the wisest man of his day, writer of the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes, look at what he said in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 19. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding he hath established the heavens, by his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down dew. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. He uses the very word creator, referring to God. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. In verse 13 he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Job believed that Job is the oldest chronological book of the Bible. Look at Job chapter 26. And verse 7. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. Verse 13. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens, his hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little portion of a portion is heard of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? Malachi chapter 2. The last book of the Old Testament. And this is interesting to me, that the first book in the oldest chronological book, the first in order, Genesis, and the last book of the Old Testament, all affirm that God is the creator. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 10, have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our father? The prophet Malachi regarded God as the creator of man, that he did not evolve. Now, look at what Jesus said about the creation. Turn to Mark 13. Now this gets really dicey. This is the one who said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Here's what Jesus said about the creation. Verse 19, for in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time. Neither shall be. John, inspired by God, set forth one of the clearest declarations of God being the creator. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. God is the Creator according to Scripture. We've already read what Paul said in Romans and also in Colossians, so I won't take the time to read it. But again, the writer of 13 books of the New Testament declared that God is the Creator. Peter, 1 Peter 4:19, under the inspiration of the Bible, inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well doing as unto a faithful Creator. The last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Overwhelming evidence from the Bible itself that God is the Creator. If evolution is to be accepted, you have to disregard the Word of God. You have to throw away its authenticity, its veracity, its authority, and say that the writings of men, the computer models of men, the philosophies of Charles Darwin and other evolutionists, they are more trustworthy and believable than God. That's what you have to say. And I don't believe in theistic evolution either. I believe that God is the Creator, that He is the sustainer of this universe, that there was no gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 literal days and rested on the 7th. He could have done it in 6 literal seconds if He wanted to. Now, we'll stop there for tonight, and next week we'll look at a few more things about God as the Creator.